Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Hopefully, we're doing that daily, meditating on his word, and everything that we say are praising and glorifying him. Amen? How's everybody doing this morning? Blessed, all right? Give God the glory. I know we lost an hour. I hope everybody's awake. It's okay. We'll get it back next year, right? But, for the time being, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. All right. For the order of my steps, if you turn your bulletins over, the order of my steps today, the title is Christian Commonality. Now, I call it that because this kind of extends what we had last week. Are we taking God seriously? Are we truly following what he says? And this goes with partnerships. And I'm talking about us leaning upon and looking to others. So the partnership is, I'm not just talking about is marriage, but I'm talking about what you may do in business. This also goes and covers mentoring, those you rely on, those who counsel to you. All of these come into play of who do we go to for these things? Who do we look to for these things? Now, understand, when it comes to these things, people look for what they have in common, correct? Usually find somebody that has something in common. Now, as I have above on the top of the page, the world defines others based on multiple factors such as race, gender, location, financial status, likes, dislikes, so on and so forth. There's millions of other things that we would look for in another person for this commonality, for this thing that I'm going to depend on them, that I'm going to partner with them. However, Christians should, everybody say should only define based on one. And it's either going to be believer or unbeliever. Did y'all catch that? Okay? We make the mistake of allowing the other things to define us. While as Christians, we are no longer defined by those. Now, those play a part. Don't get me wrong. Okay? Some of them are God-given. Some of them are self-imposed. But either which way, they exist, but we see them through God. Okay? So now how I then deal with others is going to be from one of those two things. Either they're a believer or they're a non-believer. Okay? These other factors cannot factor in the way we do. Let's look at what God says. Let's take a close look at God's requirements for Christian partnering. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 16 says, do not be. So we know this is a command. Okay? He's making this clear of something we must do or not do. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And now watch what he does here. I'm going to read through this, and I'm going to show you something that we may not see when we read this. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, and as God has said, I will live with them and will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. A couple of things God is showing us in this is he's showing too. You understand this? In this partnership or this dependence upon, he's saying it's either a believer, which he shows as righteousness, or an unbeliever, which he shows as wicked. Now, before we feel like we're insulting, we're not. Okay, remember, it took Jesus to come to a wicked world, amen, to transform all of us. So either you're with Jesus in order to receive his righteousness, or you're not, and still part of wickedness. So a lot of these, I think sometimes we'd feel bad because we have people in our lives that we love and mean a lot to us, and to call them wicked or to call them darkness. Is better? Okay, praise God. So, or Belial, we think we're insulting them. Thank you, bro. We think we are insulting them, while in reality we're speaking truth. We're showing what the Bible is saying. So he's saying, do not have that partnership with them. Christians have to know our main responsibility and partnerships and the people we listen to have to be other believers. Do y'all get this? They must be other believers. And the reason why I say it also includes mentors and teachers, because that's why Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Do y'all get this? Now, what's hard today is you'll have Christians that'll still go to worldly groups as if they're better. Have you ever heard that? They'll get Christian counseling based on the Bible, but then they'll go, yeah, but I need professional counseling. And then they'll go to the world, right? We allow in our marriages, the first and most important thing is the things we like about the person or what we see in common, instead of realizing the most important thing is, are we believers? Does that make sense? You understand that? So these have to come into play because God is showing this is dangerous when we allow ourselves to partner with. Now, we have a relationship with both believers and unbelievers. It's just a different relationship. We'll talk about that. Now, the difference between believers and unbelievers is most significantly spiritual versus irrelevant flesh. John 6:63 says, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. Can't make it any clearer, can you? It says, the words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life. This is why sometimes it's hard, even for Christians, to accept what the Bible says, because we're still looking at things through our flesh. The Bible makes clear we are to walk by faith, not by sight. Sight sees things, you know what I mean, feels things. Sight goes off of a understanding. When I can see it and it makes sense to me, then I'll follow it. Faith is accepting exactly what God gives us. Do y'all get this? There's going to be times God's going to say things in his word, and you're going to go, ooh, I don't know. But it doesn't matter what you say. You clearly are going, but he says it, so that settles it. So I'm going to follow him completely. That's why he's saying the flesh counts for nothing. Be very careful not to try to reason around God or try to use your mind along with God. It's us fully accepting God or not. Y'all see this? Okay. The danger in today, we gave so much strength to the flesh that we allowed the flesh to have a say. And this is why you'll have those that'll say, I'll accept this out the Bible, but I'm not going to accept this out the Bible. Because we allow our flesh to tell us if we want to. That's why it says people will go to itching ear churches, you know, gather around teachers, say what their itching ears want to say. We go after what we want to hear, not what he has to say. Amen. Okay, so we have to look to him. While unbelievers see others based on fleshly attributes, Christians should see all Christians as the same in Christ. Now watch this to show you that it didn't come from me. Galatians 3, 26 to 28 says, you are all sons of God. Okay, let me stop there for a minute. He's talking about everybody. I'm going to show you that, including the women. You're like, wait a minute, why doesn't he say daughters? Because we are all sons, and I'll explain that, but watch what he says. Through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ, and there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Did y'all see that? Okay, so now we are all counted as sons. Now, in this sonship or this spiritual relationship with Christ, I may have the attribute of being a male. Somebody may have the attribute of a female. Somebody else may be a Jew. Somebody else may be a Greek. And God plays with each part because they play a role, play a very important role. That's why we see in a marriage, a husband and wife play a specific role. Male and female play a specific role. We see the certain roles that the Bible puts out there for us to have. But we still see ourselves as Christians. Where we messed up is a lot of times, like, especially in our culture, we've made men better than women. And nowhere does the Bible say that. Y'all get this? Now it says we are the heads, right? Men are the heads. It didn't say leader and you must follow everything I say. No, no, no. It just means I'm responsible for. In my marriage, I'm responsible for my family. However, it says my wife is my partner. Do y'all get this? Okay, where it tells me that I have to consider her. She may even say, it may even call it the weaker partner, but it didn't say I'm the better. You get this? You understand it? So understanding our roles makes me look at each other through God, not through self. Does that make sense? Okay, and that what happened throughout time, man has made himself better and have lowered, and we've changed certain words. We've distorted the word submit, but we missed what God said. But when we recognize we're all sons, we're all partners in here that play a role, it makes everything different than what the world does. The world likes to place people in their certain categories. Does that make sense? But we have a believer or unbeliever. Now, the relationship with the believers and unbelievers must be different due to the differences in life focus. Here's some. First of all, Christians follow the only way and the only answer. Everybody say only. Look what it says in John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am, and the key word is the. That's why I put that in capital. It says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What he did not say is a way. He said the way. Now, all Christians hopefully know this and say, I'm going to the truth and take the way. Now, today you still have those Christians who are confused who say, I'll consider the Bible and then I'll look at other ways. While he made clear, no, there's only one way. Now, those who are Christians recognize that and we only look for and follow that way. Those who are not want a variety. I like options, right? You know, I want other things. And that's where the confusion comes in. Okay, so a believer looks at these one patterns of truth, while unbelievers focus and answers are of the world. 1 John 4, 4 through 6 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now, let me show you what he's showing here. So advice, things we're dealing with, life, counsel, mentorship. I have to speak the word, and you have to speak the word back to me. And so we're speaking in based on and fully based on the word. That's how believers should be talking. Does that make sense? Okay, when we're looking at and allowing everything to be based on the Bible, okay, the world is going to speak on human logic, human feeling, how we see it. Now, we've had tons of years to get it right, and we've only gotten it worse if humans were doing this. Y'all got this? Okay, so we're supposed to continue to speak the word. So what I don't do, and what no minister should do, what no church should do, I'm not going to restructure my word in order to please you or in order for you to like what I'm saying. I have to speak the word, right? And he's saying those who follow the word will listen. In other words, those who are of Christ will listen. Those who are not won't. And like I said, what happens today, then what we tend to do is we tend to change or distort God's word in order to please others. And that's dangerous, because we have to answer to God. Y'all get this? You know, I don't want to go to God one day and he says, what did you do to my sacred word? And I go, well, they weren't liking it. You know what I mean? So I had to change it up and take away some stuff. And that was hard for them to swallow. Who am I to do that? Does that make sense? You know, I am just a servant here to give you what he says. And that's how we're supposed to live our lives. So the way I know it is, as long as I'm given the word, those who want to follow Christ, who are followers of Christ, will receive it. Those who are not, will not, because the world follows the world. It also shows us that Christians recognize that all issues we deal with are spiritual. Say all issues. Now, this is important because we tend to only use this at specific times and not realizing this is all the time. It shows us in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Did y'all catch that? So I may deal with somebody at work, that person, but that person is not the problem, is what God's telling me, right? You understand this? I may deal with something with my health, but my health is not the problem. You understand this, okay? There's things you're going to deal with, and if I look at it based on what I see, I missed it. And that's exactly what Satan wants me to fight. He wants me to fight the things I see instead of the things God says. When he shows us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, he's showing there's a whole lot of other powers we don't see that are really the true cause of an issue. Now, this is why he says to love your enemies. Remember, God doesn't just do stuff just to do it. He's saying, no, that's how you're truly winning this spiritual battle. Do y'all get this? But when I look at it, no, I'm not going to let him talk to me that way. And no, I'm not going to let anybody just treat me this way. And that's how we see it. And we think it works, and we just made matters worse. We just played directly in Satan's hands. Because how we seen it, oh, I'm going to handle it now. Instead of going by what God said. But once again, the world can't see that, and an unbeliever can't see that. A believer understands that. And everything we're dealing with is spiritual. We can't be affected by what we see and what we feel, okay? But unbelievers are guided by human wisdom, which is not wisdom at all, while Christian wisdom is spiritual and can only be spiritually understood. Watch what he says here. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom. Very important. So in what we minister and what we teach can't come from a human worldly based teacher, if that makes sense. Okay? As a Christian, my teachings and your teachings have to come from the Word of God. You have to be able to check. I always tell you, make sure you check everything I'm saying. I don't want you to follow me because it's me. Okay? I want you to make sure you're saying, no, he's given us the word, and this is what we're following. And that's why he says, not words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Watch what he says here. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot. Did y'all see that? Okay? When I'm not a Christian, I cannot understand what this is. Why? It says, cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Right? I need a translator. Somebody give me an understanding. Now, we have the Spirit of God. That's why we understand. While the world will look at it and they'll go, that's crazy. You Christians are crazy. And hopefully, they're not saying they're crazy because we're acting crazy. Hopefully, they're saying we're crazy because we're following God. Do y'all get this? Okay? In which they cannot. So, there's a way we minister and there's a way things work. And I'm about to show you that. So understanding these differences is why it's so important for us as Christians to receive, to partner, to be mentors, and to mentor other Christians. And we minister to non-Christians. That's how the relationships work. Okay? My relationship with a non-Christian, no matter where they are, has to be a one-way relationship in which I am giving them God. And I'll show you how we do that. Okay? But with a believer, it's a two-way relationship with an understanding of our roles, a giving and receiving based on God. Y'all see that? Okay? Very important. So let's see how we can, in order to keep the two relationships in check, Christians must follow God's guidance. First of all, Christians must recognize the importance of connecting and staying connected with other Christians. Now, this is tough today because we blend with everybody all the same. We try to treat everybody the same. Well, he's letting you know there is a major difference. It shows us that we must together grow in faith and knowledge of Christ. Now, if you ever get a chance, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, we're getting ready to read 11 through 13, explains the purpose of church service. It breaks it down, the reason why you come to church and what the and showing that it was God ordained. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, it says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. First of all, it's showing you that it is God that set this up. This is not a man-made structure set up, okay? This is made up by God. And it's like he's the one who set it up. Why did he do it? Watch this. To prepare who? God's people. Now, I know it's a lot of times what we'll say is I'm just going to bring, you know, outside people to church and they're going to learn. Doesn't always work that way, and I'll explain how that works, because we are preparing, church is a purpose for preparing Christians, that's what I'm saying, for preparing God's people for the works of service so that the body, everybody say the body, of Christ may be built up. Okay, so it's not an individual thing. So you don't come to church as an individual Christian, you come to learn with the body. You know how in school sometimes you get those people that know everything and they hear everything and they have all the answers and they look around at everybody else because we're all stupid. You know what I mean? They're kind of like, we don't get it. And you say, oh, I get it. At church is different. As I'm recognizing you're not understanding, that becomes my responsibility to sit with you. Do y'all get this? Because we're a body. If part of your body hurts, it affects the entire body. Has anybody ever had a toothache? Your whole body is in pain, right? I mean, you're just like struggling because of that tooth. It affects the entire body. So we look around and we work with the body, like he said, so that we, the body of Christ, may be built up until we reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So our purpose is to grow as one. So when we go out in the world, we represent one. I always say when I go into a room, if they remember Keith Smith, I really haven't done anything. But if I go in the room and I leave and they remember Christ, praise God. Is that, you got that? You know, it doesn't matter if they know me. I want to make sure they know Christ because I'm part of the body of Christ. And also this is teaching us that I can start ministering to somebody. And when I leave, somebody else can come in and take off where I left off. Take over where I left off. Why? Because we're all one based on what the Bible shows us. It's saying we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the process. This is what church is for, is to bring us together as one in Christ. Okay? Also, we see there must be no division but equal concern. 1 Corinthians 12, 25-26. It says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part's honored, every part rejoices with it. We all benefit and grow with one another. Does everybody get that? We all benefit and grow with one another. And that's so important. But this is something we have to strive to do. Now, if we're being honest, you still have Christians that are hanging out with people based on what they like, not based on us being Christians, correct? Right? We look for people that we have stuff in common, not realizing the thing we have in common is our Christianity. And our Christianity is what we have in common for a purpose, in order to minister to others. Now, there's a danger when I have a relationship in the wrong way with an unbeliever. That's what this verse comes from, where it says Christians must be very careful with their relationship with unbelievers. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Just like deception, being misled is a choice. Okay? And it's showing me, do not be misled. And watch what he says. Bad company corrupts good character. Let me show you what it doesn't say. Bad company can corrupt, may corrupt. At times, no, it's saying bad company corrupts. So what it's showing me, if I have this two-way relationship, unbelievers are going to say something that I'm going to go, oh, I never thought of that. I'm going to start feeling things. I'm going to go to these professional counselors. You understand that? Christian marriages are going to worldly counselors that are giving you worldly guidance, and you're following that, not realizing you are now corrupt. Do y'all get this? Okay, marriage is a spiritual thing made by God. Why am I going to the world to tell me how to deal with it? Amen? Think about that. Now, I know we don't have enough Christian counselors, right? We may have counselors that are Christians, but it's hard to find that advice, or even financial counselors. We should have more Christian financial counselors in which they are giving you guidance based completely on God's word. But by sight, no, I think this other person who's a professional knows more than God. Seriously? Amen? Y'all see this, okay? In which we go to these outside sources. But he's saying be very careful on that relationship because it will corrupt. That corruption will stunt our spiritual growth. It shows us this in 1 Corinthians 3, 1-4. It says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Now, he's talking to Christians, and he's saying, you know what? I have more to say, but I can't talk to you as Christians because you guys are still acting like the world. So it's showing us Christians still have that ability to look through the flesh. And then it makes it hard for us to minister or be ministered to. If you come here trying to intellectually listen to me, you're going to be misled. You're going to be confused. You understand that? And that's why he said, I couldn't address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. Watch this. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. So there's a lot of stuff in this word that new Christians get. That's what we call spiritual milk. And then as you grow, you start getting solid food, which you only get as you mature. Okay? But today, Christians aren't maturing like we're supposed to. In fact, we become Christians and we stay worldly. We still see things worldly. We still act worldly. And he's saying, I can't now address you as spiritual because you're still acting worldly. He says, indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Now, he just gave us some advice using two examples. The way you know is you'll watch Christians reacting like the world does on situations and not like the Bible. Did you get this? He says there's quarreling and jealousy. Should be non-existent in a Christian community, in a Christian relationship. But why does it still exist? right? You'll still see anger. You'll still see hatred. You'll still see people not speaking to one another. You still see people dealing with it the way the world does, not the way God says. Correct? And if I see that, you can't talk to them that way. They're not mature enough. Does that make sense? Okay? A child has to go through certain stages, and not just in understanding in school, but in maturity. There's certain talks and certain things you can't talk to your kids about at a certain age until they mature. So even more so, until a Christian matures, you're going to miss out on a lot of what this word says. It says, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? This corruption comes because we allow the world to have an influence in our spiritual walk. Amen? Very dangerous. So he says, watch out for that. Christians have to be careful in directly giving God's precious word to unbelievers. Watch what it says in Matthew 7, verse 6. Now, we've seen this. It says, do not give the dogs, or do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. And that's exactly what's happening. A lot of times you have Christians carelessly going out in the world, you see it on TV, and throwing a scripture. Now, the world looks at them like, and not only that, they'll watch. Minute one Christian messes up, there you go. They turn around, tear us apart. One, because we did it our way. Y'all get this? We gave something that they can't understand, as we've seen earlier, because it's spiritually discerned. And then they look at us with our own thing and turn around and tear us up with it. So you may go within, Pastor, how do we minister then to unbelievers? Well, the Bible shows us this. Christians must minister to unbelievers as God guides and allow God to work. Remember, I am just a servant to do a job that he says. I am not the one saving you. Does that make sense? I am not the one doing, you know, everything. You go to, if you were going to a surgery room, and you'll see a bunch of people in there, but there's only one doctor doing the surgery. Y'all get this? But you got people who deal with the instruments. You got people who deal with the devices. You have people that deal with the oxygen and all of that stuff. All of that stuff exists, but they're just doing their part. If one of them mess up, the person can still die. Do y'all get this? We all play a part and allow God. Watch what he says here. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants. Everybody say only servants. Only servants through whom you came to believe. That's it. Watch what he says here. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Right now, anything I felt about me, gone. And it should be. I'm not doing anything. I'm just following instructions. I'm just playing my part in order for God to do. Does that make sense? He's like, neither he who plants nor he who waters anything, watch this, but only God who makes things grow. You get this? You understand? In other words, think of true planting. I don't have a green thumb. So I can kill a plant easy. But if you follow the process, you take the seed, you put it in the ground, you water it. Now, nothing else you can do to make it grow. You can't tear the seed open and pull the plant out, right? We can't do it. But we still have to follow a process and then allow God, right? The Bible gives us that process and how we live and the things we say and the things that we do. All of that is a ministry. All of that is the planting and the watering and allowing God. Where we mess up is we try to do it on our own. Does that make sense? So this is why we need each other in order for this process to happen, for me to plant, for another one of you to water, and as we work. And then as that works with an unbeliever, then they come back in, and then they want to know more, and then that process keeps going. That's how it's supposed to work. He was like, only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have what? One purpose. And each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. The importance of this entire thing is to show us God has a continual plan. And it's his plan, so it's a perfect plan. So in our relationships, don't out of emotions and feelings distort what he says. Make sure we follow it precisely as he says in order for it to work the way it's supposed to work. Have the relationship, but have it the way God says it, not based on you. Amen? All right. As the word says, that the word's my